Welcome to the Experiential Table. I'm Cynthia Simonian, your host and founder of Hidden Rhythm, an experiential marketing agency for food and wellness brands. The Experiential Table is all about creating engaging experiences that increase awareness and ultimately lead to brand loyalty. If you're a food or wellness business owner or marketer, then you are absolutely in the right place. While most of our work has been focused on offline, in-person events, in this episode, I'm diving into the world of online experiences. If you're looking for a way to diversify your marketing strategy during these times of COVID-19 and beyond, then stay with me, because I'm sharing 3 tips to grow your brand through online experiences. Let's get started. All right, listeners, this topic has been on my brain nonstop. With COVID-19, the experiential marketing industry has been completely put on hold, with projects canceled or at best delayed indefinitely. Not to mention in-store demos, in-person cooking classes, and everything in between have completely vanished. While experiential marketing typically focuses on offline experiences, times are changing. From virtual cooking classes to even online product launches, things are now moving completely 100% online. So without a doubt, COVID-19 has absolutely shifted our energy online in the most extreme way. We're using Zoom, Instagram, and other digital platforms we have had at our fingertips in ways we've never seen before. I mean, my mom is calling me asking for help using Zoom. That to me is just mind-blowing. And frankly, I believe that this is just the beginning. If you're not sure how to dive into the virtual world, then I have got you covered in this episode. Today, I am so excited to share 3 tips to grow your brand through online experiences. In fact, these tips are rooted in some of my favorite go-to experiential marketing principles. That's right, I'm bringing the offline magic online. Now, before I get started, I want to share something very special with you. I recently published a free guide you will definitely want to download. It's called 19 Creative Online Marketing Ideas to Help Your Food Brand Show Up and Serve. This guide includes ideas from brands of all sizes in the food and wellness space. Big brands you've heard of and smaller ones that you may not have heard of yet. This 6-page guide has 19 different ideas across 5 different content categories. The goal is to help you save some time brainstorming your business's next marketing move as you think about going online. And it'll help you think through how to market authentically, not only during this crazy time of COVID-19, but also well after the dust settles. So head on over to hiddenrhythm.com/freebie19 to get your guide. I'll also include a link to the freebie in the show notes so you can check that out as well. All right, now let's dive right into the 3 tips to grow your brand through online experiences. My first tip is perhaps the most important of the 3. I'm not going to make you wait until the end of the episode to get this golden nugget, and that is to know your niche. If you've followed my content for quite some time, then you know that I am a huge fan of niche marketing. And when it comes to growing your brand online, it is no exception. Here's the deal. The online space feels super crowded. I can't tell you how many times people come to me and say, "Well, Cynthia, why should I even bother creating an online cooking class or doing more with my brand online? Because everyone is flocking to the digital space." I get it. It's really hard to stand out. So, how does your brand stand a chance in breaking through the noise of a crowded market? Well, let's say you make a line of Thai chili pastes and you want to market your product through online cooking classes. Exactly what market is too crowded, right? So when we tell ourselves that the market is saturated or there's no room for another cooking class, what market are we talking about? Are we talking about the market for online cooking classes or the market for online Thai cooking classes? What about the market for online vegan Thai cooking classes? Like any space that feels too crowded, the key is actually to niche down. When you do that, you get to decide what market is yours. With niche marketing, you actually focus on the smallest market that can sustain your business. Seth Godin, who is really the guru of niche marketing, calls this your minimum viable audience. Of course, you don't want to go after a market so small that there's only one person in it, but chances are the market that feels small to you is pretty big once you dive deeper. So rather than market to everyone, the goal is to narrow in on your unique target customer. Now, this is how we approach experiential marketing in the offline world. We have a very specific idea of who our target audience is, and we create the experience to uniquely delight them. If we created an experience that was targeting millennials, senior citizens, and toddlers, you can imagine that it would fall flat. It would feel average because how can you serve all of those people with one experience? Now, that's just an example of segmenting your audience by age, but there are lots of ways that you can define your niche. You can think about it through the lens of dietary restrictions, lifestyle choices. You can think about hobbies that they have, locations or geographies that they live in, or even just other brands that they affiliate or associate themselves with. I could devote a full episode or probably a full podcast, honestly, to just niche marketing. So we're just going to scratch the surface here and know that there will be much more coming from me on this topic. All right, so let's get back to the benefits of going niche with your market. When you focus on a niche, a smaller audience, you can actually do what is called over-serving your target customer. Over-serving means that you go above and beyond. You are so in touch with their needs, their wants, their desires, that you can offer content, services, and products that really speak to that. This leads to loyalty and greater word of mouth because your customers feel seen and heard and understood. So the first benefit of going niche is that you get to go really deep with your existing customers. You get to create more value for the people you already serve. And if you are a lover of vegan Thai cuisine, you better believe that you're going to be excited to attend the online cooking class that your brand is going to host just for people who love vegan Thai food. The second benefit is that there's less competition. You get to have a larger share of a smaller market, which actually is a much better place to be than to have a tiny, tiny share of a large market. The goal is to really take on and saturate that smaller market. And then the third benefit is that you can grow into new markets. So don't think that just because you choose a small niche, that has you locked into a small market forever. You can add additional niches later. And as you continue to expand and do so in a strategic way, it is much easier to start small and grow from there than to try and capture a huge market right off the bat. And just a reminder, like I mentioned earlier, when you start with a smaller niche, you may think that it's small, but once you really dig in and get your hands dirty and get to know your customers, you'll realize that your market is much bigger than you originally thought. I know that going small can feel super uncomfortable, but trust me, I've done this in my own business a few different times, and the more narrow I get with my niche, the better I can overserve those customers. And that leads to more word of mouth, which has built my business through referrals and helped me get into larger niches. So as you think about moving into the world of online experiences, perhaps you want to do a branded cooking class or some sort of event online, remember to define your niche. It will influence everything that follows, your marketing strategy, your communications, even the content that you share in your online experience. It all has to tie back to the niche that you are serving, or I should say, over-serving. This is my first tip because I believe this is exactly where you should start. Now, once you've honed in on your target niche market, what do you do when you have their attention? Well, my second tip to help you grow your brand through online experiences is to engage, not to broadcast. I've said this before, but I'll repeat it, probably more than just in this episode too. Your experience is not a spectator sport. I want you to think of the people who show up for your live or your cooking class, whatever it may be. I want you to think of them as participants, not guests. They're participants because you actually want them to participate in the experience. You don't want them to just sit there and stare at their phone and watch you make a delicious pasta dish. You want them to roll their sleeves up and get involved, whether that means cooking along or having another way to participate. We talk about this a lot in the offline experience world. It's much easier to do with in-person events, but that doesn't mean we have to neglect it in the online space. If you're hopping on Zoom and talking at your participants, you are missing out on some serious magic. And what I'm talking about is more than having a Zoom cooking class and asking questions of your participants to engage them. That to me is very baseline. That's what we all should be doing at a minimum. But to get it right and to really make the most of the online experience, you have to build engagement into the design of your experience. Now let's take a step back and talk about why engagement matters. I've covered this in some earlier episodes, but just to sum it up, experiential marketing isn't about logic. It's about emotion. In fact, 90 to 95% of the decisions we make to buy a product or service are driven by emotions. It's our subconscious. And when done really well, experiential marketing highlights those warm and fuzzy feelings consumers get when they purchase your product or your service. These feelings lead to greater retention of your brand. And the next time they see your product on the shelves at their local grocery store, they'll remember the experience and associate it with your brand. So knowing those things, how can we bring in the experiential touch points that we know lead to greater engagement, especially in your online experience? Well, I want you to ask yourself, how do you want your participants to feel when they are attending your online experience? Do you want them to feel inspired, connected, relaxed, energized? Make sure you jot down those adjectives before you move forward with creating your content for your experience. This ensures that you and your team are all on the same page about what your eventual goal is around your participant experience. Then I want you to ask yourself, how are you engaging your participants through the senses? We're lucky to work in food because it does a lot of the hard work for us. We get the sense of smell, touch, taste, sound, and sight all by cooking. And if you are doing a class in person, or if you've taught a class in person or demoed a product in person, then you know that that's just the power of food. It's pretty amazing in that way. But when we host experiences virtually, we have to do more of the legwork to highlight these elements, these senses. And we do not want to forget about these senses. I recently learned a stat that 75% of our emotions, that's right, 75% are generated by the sense of smell. Now, we did an episode with Lee Winters in season one, so be sure to check that episode out. And she talks all about the power of scent. But just know that we cannot forget the senses, especially smell. So how do you actually do that then, right? When you are not in the same room as someone, you can't control what's around them. Well, let's talk about that further. Now, you can't control their space, but let's think about how you can influence it. Is there a playlist you want your participants to listen to before or after your class? or maybe something you're even playing as you teach quietly in the background. Do you want them to smell certain ingredients along the way? If you're using different spices that have really strong and fragrant aromas, build in opportunities to talk about that and to encourage people to take a whiff of the spice that's in front of them while you are teaching. Are there certain ingredients that you want them to have on hand so that they can smell and get a sense for the aromas that you're cooking with? Not all cooking classes have to be cook-alongs. Sometimes that can be a barrier for people to actually join your experience. So if you're making a dish that utilizes a variety of spices, maybe just asking them to pull out a few spices from their pantry that are similar to what you have that you're using and having them smell those and close their eyes and describe what it is they're smelling could be a great way to engage them without having them cook alongside you. And perhaps if you're doing a more wellness-focused experience, how can your participants create the ideal atmosphere? And more importantly, how can you help them do that? Encourage them to turn their room into a dark space, light candles, whatever it is that you think will help them have the best experience with you is something that you absolutely should encourage. Now that we've talked about how you want them to feel and how you can engage your participants through senses, let's talk a bit about personalization. Now, personalization adds a fun layer of surprise and delight to an experience. Once again, this is something we do all the time in the offline space when we work with brands on activations. We are always looking for ways for participants to customize something or make something their own because we know, and the science tells us this, that people are more likely to share or talk about something when they have some skin in the game, when they've invested some time to create something that feels special to them. So think about ways that you can incorporate personalization or customization into your experience. First off, what can you customize as the host of the experience that'll surprise and delight your participants? Can you ask your participants to send you a few of their favorite ingredients in advance, or perhaps their favorite cuisine, and somehow integrate it into what you teach? Think outside the box here. Remember that you want your participants to feel like they're actively engaged, and you want to engage them. You don't want to treat them as guests. So find different touch points before, during, and after the experience for you to collect information and tweak your experience to really feel personalized towards them. And finally, you also want to think about what your participants can customize themselves to help them feel more invested in your experience. Once again, in the online world, this is a bit challenging because everyone is joining from their homes and you don't really know what they have around them, but you can certainly try and nudge people in the right direction. So if you are, for example, teaching a workshop on how to create a fruit tart, then give your participants options for fruit that they could use to decorate their tart. If you are using strawberry and kiwi, great. But if blueberries are an awesome option, or you could use nectarines, let your participants know. And even better, encourage them to send you a photo of whatever they decide to use, and you can use that on your social media. This is just one example of a rather foolproof way to enable your participants to customize something and to make it feel like it's their own. You'll find that people are much more willing to share and talk about your experience when they've been able to make their own mark on it. Now, one thing I want to point out about some of the ideas I've shared in tip two is that these ideas aren't hard. They aren't difficult to execute, but they require thinking in advance. I often teach my students to think about design before logistics. Before you think about the Zoom link and the time and all of those details, think about what it is you're trying to do. How do you want your participants to feel, right? And consider a lot of the questions that I've talked about here. The design piece is where you really get your experience to stand out and feel different from all the others in this crowded space. So if these feel like rather simple tips, know that they are. They are easy to execute, but it is so rare for brands and businesses to make the time to think about these things because we're moving so quickly and oftentimes we just rush to action and not actually think about why we're doing what we're doing. And that is the perfect segue to my third and final tip to grow your brand through online experiences. And that tip is to consider the full end-to-end experience, or what I call the participant journey. While you might think that your experience is just that 90-minute cooking demo, it's actually so much more than that. It begins with the first promotional post you share on Instagram and ends with the final thank you email you send to your participants. And there are so many other touch points, or I should say possible touch points, along the way. I like to break this up into two parts, the when and the what. So the when represents the actual touch points. I want you to map out your participant journey for your next online experience and identify the touch points you have, or perhaps the touch points that are missing. So from the very beginning, when you advertise your online experience, all the way to the very end when the experience is over, what are the different touch points you have in place? For example, are you sending a confirmation email when someone registers for your cooking class? Are you sending a reminder email 24 hours before? And are you sending a thank you email afterward? These are just some ideas of touch points that you can build in to your experience. This is very similar to how we produce activations in the offline world. We don't think about the activation as just that time the pop-up is live or the launch event is happening. We actually think about the experience from the invitation all the way to the very end when we thank them for coming and encourage them to share content from the event. Your online experience is no different. But because we are moving so quickly in this space, we haven't had the chance to really stop and think about what we're doing and why we're doing it. And so that is why it's really important for you to consider your participant journey so that those touch points, which really enable you to connect with your participants, aren't neglected. So now that you've thought about when you're going to have these touch points with your participants throughout the participant journey, it's time to consider what. So what type of content are you going to share? The rather obvious answer is that you're going to share the time of your online experience, the link to the Zoom or whatever platform you're using, and some technical instructions. But you can do so much more than that. Can you use these emails or these communications as an opportunity to share who you are and your brand story? Is there more about your product that you want people to understand before they dive into your experience? You can share your team values, your beliefs, your supply chain, all through the lens of what it means for your participant. So I don't want you to turn this into a whole biography about your company and make it all about you, but use this opportunity to share what you're about and why it should matter to the participants. This is a marketing opportunity. It's not just about sending logistics to get people in the right Zoom meeting to join your cooking class. You also want to use your final touch point as a way to communicate a call to action once your experience is over. So you've thanked them for coming. Perhaps you send a thank you email. You have the recipes or whatever other content you think is important for them to have. And then what? What is it you want them to do? So for your experience, I want you to write down the number one primary action you want them to take once they are done with your experience. Do you want them to share a photo of it on social media? Do you want them to buy your product using a promo code or discount that you're offering? Or do you want them to fill out a quick survey to learn more about who they are and how the experience went for them? Whatever you decide to do, make sure that you have a call to action and that you communicate it clearly. At the end of the day, I want you to think about your participant journey as a gift. Truly, it's a marketing gift that's filled with different opportunities for you to communicate with your participants who may be existing customers or may most likely be new customers that are just getting to know what you're all about. I think that is pretty exciting. Don't you agree? Well, with these three tips in hand, I hope you take on the world of online experiences with more confidence and creativity. Your target audience is waiting for you. So don't miss out on the opportunity to serve them when they need you the most. If you show up for them now, especially in a high quality way using the tips I've shared, they will absolutely remember you when they're looking for your product on the shelves of their grocery store or looking for more resources and classes even when things get back to, quote, normal. So to recap, my three tips to help you grow your brand through online experiences are, one, to know your niche. Stand out by over-serving a smaller audience. If you can wow and deliver an amazing experience for a smaller audience, you have a much greater chance of making a bigger splash as you continue to grow. My second tip is to engage. Do not broadcast. Participants are way more valuable than guests. So be sure that you are doing things that create participation, not viewership. And tip number three is to consider the full experience. Your experience is more than just your 90-minute cooking class. Your participants are going through their very own participant journey, whether you've explicitly laid that out or not. So it's much better to get ahead of it and ensure that you're making the most out of every possible communication. Now, I am so pumped up for the next three episodes. I'm interviewing some of my favorite food business founders who have ventured into the world of online experiences to grow their business. These interviews are seriously filled with really great inspirational stories and definitely tactical tips so that you can apply them to your own business. You really, really don't want to miss these episodes. All right, two things before we wrap up this episode of The Experiential Table. First off, if you found this episode helpful, then please be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. This helps others just like you find this podcast so that they can learn how to step up their brand through experiential marketing. And finally, be sure to get your copy of my free guide, 19 Creative Online Marketing Ideas to Help Your Food Brand Show Up and Serve. That is a mouthful. Head on over to hiddenrhythm.com/freebie19. That's FREEBIE 19. I'll include a link to the show notes so that you can easily click and find the guide there as well. All right, my friends, until next week, get excited to get experiential.